two stories, one fictional, one the truth. But there are some principles that we can learn here together this evening as we look at these two stories. We start with the fact that there was a challenge that occurred at that time. The challenge in the story that we know to be true of Jesus was there was a census that was taken. Every 14 years at that time, the Romans would take up a census, and everybody would have to go back to their hometown. They would have to account for where they are at, what they have as far as their property and so forth. And it wasn't a fun time. Now think about it for just a second. Think about where you live today and where you were born. Now imagine if you had to uproot and travel all the way back home. You don't have the luxury of airplanes or vehicle cars and trucks. You have to drive or walk that distance. And it was a challenge. It was a challenge, especially for this young couple. See, because they found themselves in a town called Nazareth, and they had to go back to Joseph's hometown, which was Bethlehem. Now, Nazareth to Bethlehem isn't like from Surrey to Langley. You had to travel quite a distance. Actually, the distance between the two was approximately 129 kilometers. That's a long ways to hoof it. That's okay if you got an SUV. But if you've got just your feet or a donkey, that's a problem. It's a problem, especially if you're 9 months pregnant. Now, I don't know about you ladies. I've never been pregnant, but I don't think I'd want to travel 129 kilometers 9 months pregnant. Anybody out there wanting to do that? I don't think so. So it was a real challenge for them to travel this distance. In the fictional story of the drummer boy, he found himself in many, many challenges as well. I'm wondering, when you look at your life, what type of challenges do you find yourself in, and how do you deal with those challenges? There is a verse in the Bible found in James chapter 1, verse 2. It says this: "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles," another Bible version says, "tests and challenges come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." Great joy. Really? Challenges a great joy. But see, here's the thing. When we face those difficulties, that's when we stop depending on ourselves and start looking to God and saying, "God, I got nothing. I need your help in this." And God is looking for us to develop in the most important areas of our life and to develop in a way that honors him. Challenges. Secondly, we see confrontation. There was a confrontation that occurred in these two stories. In the first story, in the book of Luke, we find a confrontation between the shepherds and the angels. It wasn't a bad confrontation. They were given some great news. Great news. In the fictional story, Aaron was confronted with disaster, the loss of his family, the loss of his friends, the loss of his farm. And he became bitter and very, very angry. See, we all like to be confronted with good stuff, don't we? We like those good stories, those positive things. We like hearing those things. But what do we do when we hear the negative stuff? What happens when we're confronted with the stuff that we don't want to hear? The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 14 says this: "When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider God has made the one as well as the other." There's a man in the Old Testament by the name of Job. This guy lost it all. He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost his farm. He lost his animals. He lost everything. And the person that was closest to him at that time, his wife said to him, "Job, man, give up. Just curse God. And then just die. Like, what are you holding on for?" And Job said something very, very interesting. In Job chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "Shall we accept good things from God and not trouble?" See, God allows those difficulties, folks, those confrontations again so that we can develop perseverance and character and character hope. James chapter 1, verse 3 talks about that. So what do you do? What do you do when you're confronted with those things that aren't so fun? Do we become bitter or do we say, God, I need you. I need you. I need to trust you. We have then to make a choice. Brings me to my next point. The choice we make is, what are we going to do when confronted with some sort of challenge? It's interesting. We heard about the wise men. The wise men traveled quite a distance. They traveled from the country of Perea to Jerusalem following a star. Could have been possibly a comet. That distance they traveled was, they say, approximately 500 miles. That's a long distance to travel. So they didn't just come overnight. It took us some time. It probably took till Jesus was either between 1 and 2 years old before they actually found him. And you know what? I would think that at the time, some people would have thought, these guys are crazy. It's illogical. What are you doing following some star to some baby you know nothing about? Why would you do that? And sometimes in our lives, we may be confronted in our faith with things, with people that will say to us, you're not being logical. But see, here's the truth, folks. When we put our faith in God, when we put our trust in God, when we make a choice to follow him, it's always logical, and it always ends to a good end. So you have a choice to make. We all have a choice to make. In the fictional story of the drummer boy, he chose to follow the star to the place where Christ was born. You have a choice to follow the things of God, the things that are written in the Bible, to a place where God can meet with you, where you can say, God, I surrender myself to you. I want to commit myself to you. And in doing so, as we surrender and say, forgive me for the things I've done wrong, he will reveal himself to us in incredible ways. But there has to be a commitment. And I end with this. We have to make a solid commitment, folks, to the person of Jesus. The drummer boy in this story, he gave whatever he had. His very best was simply to play for the king. And God is calling for us to give our best. It may not be a great pile of riches, and you know what? Quite honestly, God does not necessarily want our riches, but he's calling for us to give of ourselves in a way that honors him. And see, you know, you really think about it, when we consider what God gave to us, the creator of the universe has given us an opportunity to have fellowship with him, to have friendship with him, to have a relationship, for him to talk to us, for him to guide us. There is nothing better than that. What is giving of what we have to him in comparison to what he has done for us? So, folks, I want to encourage you tonight. The last verse that you saw up there on the video was Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. It said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I encourage you to ask God, even this Christmas season, Lord, purify my heart. Take away those things that don't honor you and help me to live in a way that pleases you. And in doing so, as we commit ourselves to him, he is going to bring us to places. There will be challenges, but he's going to bring us to places of pure joy in his presence. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, that as we have been here this evening and as we have heard the message of Christmas, the true message of Jesus, how he came to this planet, how he gave of himself, how he set aside everything to be born in a very humble place, in a stable. And then, God, how he walked through a life of commitment to you and how he died on the cross for us, God, so that we could we could have forgiveness of our sin and how he rose again so we can have eternal life with you. I pray this message would ring in our hearts, and Lord, that it would be a reality in each one of us, that we would have a commitment to you here tonight. You're a good God, and we celebrate you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, have your place in every one of our hearts tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.